Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have the lovely Chris Mears with us in the studio today. He's the lead singer of the Bournemouth band Mellophone. In the background, if my ears don't deceive me, we have the first track of his debut album, Every Word I Drop. This is the first track. This is Every Word I Drop, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, it's lovely to have you with us. Thanks very much for coming in. So, can you tell us a bit about Mellophone?
What would you like to know?
Well, I'd like to know, first of all, how did you find the name? Because if a little birdie told me that you weren't originally called Mellophone,
no.
Is that right?
No, well, we were in a band called Blueprint, which some of you listeners out there might know, and some of you might not. we were in a band called Blueprint, and we were doing sort of hip-hop and drum and bass, which we were really into at the time. You know, like around the time that the New Forms album Represent came out, and so we really wanted to emulate that, and we did, but we wanted to base it around a live band, so we didn't want it to be like a studio producer sort of thing. We wanted it to be a band, so the band came about, and then due to a few changes in lineup, me and James carried on. James was the drummer and writer, and we formed Mellophone.
Right. So just to make it clear, it's you and
James.
Your fellow musician is James.
James Evans,
James Evans, that's the guy.
James Child Evans.
Yeah, one of those double-barreled names that everyone always just remembers one part of the barrel, don't they? Not both of them.
Exactly.
But I went to go and see you play recently. I think it was back in February time. And you were playing at Mr. Kipps.
Yeah.
And I sort of know your music quite well. And there was a really great dynamic between you and James on the stage. But the turnout wasn't very good, was it? Why do you think that was? Unfortunately. Well, I was just going to talk about publicity and things anyway.
Yeah, well, we were... be careful not to get anyone in trouble now. We were working with some college students from the Arts Institute here in Bournemouth, and I think it's just, well, in terms of it not working well, it was a case of it hadn't been plugged into, I suppose, the right, I don't know, network of friends, you know, that kind of thing. It's very tight-knit in Bournemouth, and I think you have to really plug into the parties and the things that are going on. And I'm not saying that didn't necessarily happen, but for a number of reasons, our band actually was supposed to play like a full lineup, but due to stuff going completely wrong with the record label that we were signed to at the time, it didn't happen. The band fell apart, and things changed so much that just me and James did the gig, and then I think it was even in the air whether we were gonna even do it or not. So yeah, that contributed to it being a bit of a dodge turnout.
Sure. So moving back, I suppose, to now, like to a more positive road and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What are you working on at the moment? Have you sort of taken a new tack? Have you got any new objectives for 2004?
Well, not really. I think just to write the songs that we'd intended to record first time round. Not all of them written, but when we went into the studio originally to record the Every Word I Drop, which was supposed to be an album, we had intended to record like all new material, but the record company got interested in us through Blueprint, and then I think they were very keen for us to record that stuff, for which, you know, from our point of view, we weren't interested in doing that. We'd moved on, and I think our hearts weren't really in that, you know. So now the main objective is definitely to, you know, record the new stuff, get that done. Not really with a massive interest of getting it to record labels and that kind of thing. I think we just want to do it ourselves, finish it, now that we're sort of free of the record label, and then, you know, put it back in the hands of people that we had connections with last year, you know, like radio pluggers and magazines and those kind of people, people who we built up some kind of, you know, relationship with.
Definitely. So the band's actually gone through so many changes.
Yeah.
It's evolved in so many ways.
Yeah.
I just wanted to know, like, which styles do you think you've most been influenced by? There's always that sort of situation where there are so many road signs in sort of, you know, the musical world, and you
definitely
just think, oh, am I going to get sucked into the sort of Aphex Twin side or Ronnie side? How do you think you've evolved in that sense?
I think that's a real test, actually, for a band, especially when you do have a genuine passion for music and you love music, where you can I think you can be into all these different types of music, and then you can try and, like you said, you know, you can try and like pull them all in, and it may not work. And you, there's a balance between like actually knowing what it is that you want to create, and then taking the influences. Like, you know, with me and James, I think between us, we listen to pretty much every type of music. I mean, we have a genuine love for music. So yeah, you draw on, you know, you listen to stuff like Nick Drake or whatever, and you listen to like, I'm really into the Mars Volta at the moment. I think they're fantastic, and you can listen to stuff like that. But you have to, somewhere along the line, you have to think, well, this is actually what our sound amounts up to, and we have to be inspired by these people, but not necessarily try to, you know, copy them.
Definitely.
Which does happen, you know, and you do, and you kick yourself, and you do something, you think, oh, the classic, that sounds... And people will tell you, they'll be sounds just like flipping, you know, I don't know,
Chaz
and Dave, you know.
Didn't I hear that yesterday? Yeah, no one said Chaz and Dave.
We get that all the time.
So, one thing I do really like about your music is the fact it is really eclectic.
Yeah.
I mean, if the listeners are paying attention, that first single off
Please,
the album...
pay attention.
Listen up, people.
Yeah.
Every word I drop sounds so different to this second track.
Yeah.
I mean, and you kind of, you do experiment with different instruments.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, you kind of put your head together a lot in that respect. And
yeah.
Really sort of... I mean, you've got your guitar on your knee, and I can see you're itching to play us some songs. So are we going to let them loose in the studio? I think we will.
That's a yes from the control booth, people.
That's a yes from the control. We've got all thumbs up.
Okay. Okay. Would you like me to introduce the song?
If you wouldn't mind, yeah. Okay.
Okay. So this is a song called "Stop the Noise," and we wrote this after we left the record label. So this is going to be one of the tracks that features on the album when we eventually record it.
Brilliant.
Okay, here we go. Stop the noise, stop the fuss, and then move yourself away. 'Cause beautiful things are around you. Around you, around you. It's always you that moves me. It's always true. You find a way to break down. Break down. And it's enough. Yeah, it's enough.
better again.
That was brilliant. Cheers. Thank you so much. Thanks. What's the name of that song, Chris?
Stop the Noise.
Stop the Noise. Yeah. Okay, so everyone should be paying attention. That's going to be on your new album.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And when's that due out?
We have no idea.
Okay.
But probably maybe January, February next year.
Right. And so how do you think that this album differs from the first album? Do you think it's changed at all? Because I remember you playing that song when I went to see you go and play live. Uh-huh. I mean, it's kind of... It is similar to some of the stuff on your first album, but how would you describe it's taking a different tack, if any?
Well, part of that comes from the fact that me and James are just, well, we're just writing songs on an acoustic guitar. And actually, I laugh because James lives in Bath, and we meet in Salisbury every week, like a couple of losers in Salisbury car park.
People throw pennies. So when those people walk past and throw pennies at you.
Well, you get no. We sit in the car with two guitars, one stuck out the window, and you get these kids kind of coming around, look at us like we're a couple of, you know, couple of losers. Anyway, so yeah, that's pretty funny. But
you need to do it. It'll pay off in the end.
Yeah,
right?
I think so. Yeah, we're building up the little stories as we go.
And so is it kind of equally weighted? Does James write as much material as you?
Definitely.
Or does he ever come to you on a weekly basis and say, hey, listen, I've had this brilliant idea for a
new
song?
Yeah, and we'll send... Well, James is actually really good at it, but I'm a bit crap at it. But, you know, we'll send, like, mini-disc ideas to each other in the post and that kind of thing, yeah. And then, you know, like, so I could get a mini-disc from James, take it away, you know, listen to it, write down some words or give him some words and he'll go over them, think, you can't write that, you... flipping, you know,
you can't spell.
Yeah, you can't spell. But no, and so we swap around and we kind of, and that's how it takes, that's what it's like in the studio as well. We share everything. We, like when we did the EP, you know, it was very much, if you were sat down at the keyboard at the time, then you'd play it, or if I was sat on the drums and I would play the drums, and we, you know, and James did some singing, and we try not to be too precious. That's pretty hard for artists, but we try not to be precious about, you know.
I suppose you've just got to keep your mind really open, haven't you, and just accept ideas as they come to you, kind of thing. Well, we'd really like you to play another song off the new album, if that's okay.
Yes.
Just so listeners can acquaint themselves.
How was that? Do I probably need to wear these, don't I?
I think you sounded fine. I think you sounded fine.
Okay.
I got all the all clear from the studio next door, so that'd be great.
All right, then.
Yeah, that, take it away.
Yeah, okay, so this is a song called Pinch and Punch. Sometimes when I'm not looking, sometimes I forget you, and borrowed words that fall on me are here done inside. Sometimes sun and shadow fall on you when you're asleep, and it feels like I need waking up, and I know that we need waking up. And turn and you might see it all. Then turn, and it feels like I need waking up, and I know that we need waking up, and it feels like I need waking up tomorrow. This time, come fall back, pick it up and bring it down. Turn and you might see it all. Yeah, pinch and punch, pinch and punch. Yeah, it feels like I need waking up, and I
know that we need waking up, and it feels like I need waking up tomorrow. And this time I know I'm waking up, and it feels like I need waking up, and yesterday is broken up tomorrow.
That was really good. Thank you. So that was Pinch and Punch. Yeah. That was Chris Mears from Mellophone. Pinch and Punch is one of the singles off your new album. That really was good. I've got a couple of last questions for you. Then I think we've got some other stuff coming up after this. I was just going to say, you've got a really great voice. Where did you learn to sing like that? Have you had singing lessons, or was it just one of those things?
No, I probably should do, but I haven't.
But it sounds so clear in the headphones. It's weird, because when you hear live music, you just think, wow, those are really talented musicians. And not saying you're not, but it's just great.
What's going on?
Have someone sitting next to me and actually sounding good, you know?
I bought a guitar when I was... 10, the classic, really. I wanted to buy... everyone was taking classical guitar lessons at school, and I wasn't, I wasn't up for that. So I went and bought an electric guitar.
For
20 quid from a...
20 quid
from a second-hand shop. Yeah, it was a piece of crap, but it was classic.
Had one string on it.
Yeah, and then I just got into singing from then on. I actually played in a band called Indiana with a mate of mine called Luke Price. And I just played guitar for him, but I think I got into it through that, and yeah.
And admittedly, you are a good-looking guy. Now, you're a lead singer of a group. Do you get loads of groupies? Because I did notice that when I was at the Kips gig.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I kept on getting... I was being shot evils by all these little girls in kind of short skirts at the front of the stage.
I'm going to seem like such a tosser, aren't I?
And I was like, has he paid them to look pretty and stand at the front gawping at him?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, because I wouldn't get that otherwise. that's very kind of you. I don't know what to say to that. No, we don't get groupies.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Well, James is married anyway, isn't
James
he?
James is married, but we shouldn't say that, apparently.
No flies
according
on him.
To Cuba Records, we're not supposed to...
Okay.
We're not supposed to say that.
We'll take
He's
that
supposed
back.
To just be available, do you know what I mean?
He's very single. He takes his wedding ring off for gigs.
I did notice
that. Okay, well, listen, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us.
No problem.
Really, really enjoyed it.
Great.
It's been great.
Thank you.
And the music's been brilliant. I'm sure my colleagues agree with me. We might have time to talk to you later, but if not, thanks again.
Okay.
Bye.
Cheers, Kat.